128th Psalm. Read all six verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see good days of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the blessing of family. And probably if we were to have a testimony time and we were to ask each person to say the things, maybe list three things that they were the most thankful for, I would suspect on everyone's short list, Lord, maybe after salvation, very quickly after that would be family. We do thank you, Lord, how good you are to us, and Lord, for the idea of family that was born in your heart and your mind, the idea that you allow us to be a part of the family of God, that you choose to allow us to call you our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that as we teach on this tonight, that something will go down into the hearts of our young people, the importance of family, the place and the role that it plays. And Lord, as we give instruction from to the grandparents all the way down to the children tonight, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn some things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible deals with, in this 128th Psalm, basically an idea of five generations in this psalm. We'll deal with that in just a minute. The Bible talks about seeing your children's children. So if you have an opportunity to see your grandchildren, the Bible says you're blessed. Some of you are specifically, I would say specially blessed. I'm going to go through a little exercise here. And so if I'm going to have you stand, different groups of you. So pay attention. This is a test. You'll be graded on this to see if you're awake and alert on a Wednesday, okay? But how many in here are great-grandparents? If you're a great-grandparent, would you stand? If you're a great-grandparent, stand. Well, let me just say this. Isn't that great? And let me just say this to this group of people. You are unusually blessed because the Bible says that we're blessed if we get to see our grandchildren. And here you have been blessed to be able to see your children's children's children. And so, as you can see, folks, just by the number, this is an unusual thing. And how old's your oldest great-grandchild, Brother Charles? 16. 5. Don't know. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. Do you know? See, there's another thing with being a great-grandparent. By the time you get there, you're senile, see? So that's all right. You know, I know Mrs. Dively. I'm not going to ask Brother Dively. 7? All right. 5. Okay. And you said 16? Okay. And Sister Lou, is any number coming to you? Yeah. 35. For your great-grandchild's 35? It's okay. All right. It's all right. I've embarrassed you enough. Okay. You can be seated. So I want you to kind of keep this picture in your mind of who you just saw. Think a little bit about what we're doing here, okay? And put some of you on the spot. I'm sorry about that. Good night. You didn't know you'd have to come to church and be quizzed by the preacher in front of everybody. I apologize. How many of you are grandparents? And some of you that just stood, of course, would stand again. If you're grandparents, would you stand? Now, this is more of what the Bible would say would be the norm. The idea of being able to look one direction, seeing parents and grandparents. The idea of looking down the other way and seeing children and children's children. And so you could see that our great-grandparents were the exception, where our grandparents is a little more common. Very good. Now, this group will probably remain standing because I'm going to ask you, how many of you are parents? Would you stand? And, of course, that would include the group. I think you have to be a parent in order to be a great-grandparent. Last time I checked. Good. Okay, now, of course, we're getting a little bit of a bigger group here. That's your parents. Now, we're going to start changing things a little bit, the dynamics here a little bit, if I do this right. How many of you have living parents? Would you stand? Have living parents? Now, if you notice that a lot of the folks that were standing earlier are not standing anymore, okay? How many of you have living parents? Good, good. How many of you have living grandparents remain standing? Living grandparent. Okay, very good. And you see how this is shifting, folks? What the Bible's saying here is you're going to probably, in a normal life, if you're extremely blessed, there might be a little bit of exception to this, but in a normal life, you're going to have an opportunity to know probably intimately your grandparents and your parents. That would be the norm. Your children and your children's children if you live a normal lifespan. Now watch this. How many of you have living great-grandparents? Would you stand? Anybody here have living great-grandparents? And again, did you see what happened? All of a sudden now we have a little bit of what we saw before. And let me say of you two, you are unusually blessed because that is not the norm. You can be seated and I will no longer torture you. Oh, I didn't see you. Do you have a living great-grandparent also? I didn't see him. So there was three? Did I miss somebody else? Okay. And Natty does. Anybody else got some baby in the nursery? You got one? Oh, I didn't see you. Okay. A little girl was standing, and was Max standing? No? Okay, all right, okay, all right. I'm just checking. Okay, very good. Now, let's understand something, folks. Life, even though it's, the Bible says life's a vapor, we come into it as babies, and we have a heritage. We have generations that have produced us. We don't choose that direction. Watch this. The Bible talks about a goodly heritage. Matter of fact, let me read a couple verses to you. Psalms 16:6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 119:11. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. We read Psalm 1, we didn't read that, but Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so most of us, if I'm standing here in the middle of my life, I have a chance to know my children, and maybe my children's children, my parents, and maybe be fortunate also to know my grandparents. My grandparents are now passed off the scene. I have just one living parent left. And so that means that end of it is diminishing, and I'm moving up the ladder. When I was born, I had parents, and I had grandparents, and I had great-grandparents. But soon the great-grandparents passed off the scene. Shortly after that, into my 20s, I lost the last of my grandparents. And then I have went to the cemetery to lay to rest one of my parents. Some of you are in different places, but this is what we have. Now, let me say this, folks, of all of the things that you've been blessed with on your journey here on earth is we should remember this. Family is a blessing. Family's a blessing. And so I want to go through several thoughts with you tonight and maybe just select different groups of you as we consider these five generations. I'm talking about children's children, children, your generation, parents, grandparents, wherever you fall on that. Let me just give you some, I think, encouragement. The blessing of having grandparents. The blessing of having grandparents. You got to see a minute ago how many people have great-grandparents. You young people that have great-grandparents, you're unusually blessed. And those that were standing that said, I still have living grandparents, you're blessed. Please don't take them for granted. They are connected to a part of America, a part of history that you need to know about. They're going to know things that you'll never learn about reading a history book. They've got stories to tell, and they've got a part of, and by the way, their story is your story. Their story is your story. Now, in this matter of a heritage, you may not have got to choose what kind of heritage that you've received as far as grandparents. You say, well, preacher, I have grandparents, but they're not Christians. They're not saved. Well, let me just say this. They still know a lot of things that you ought to take the time to learn. And you ought to see to it as best you can that you have the best possible relationship with them. I remember And I think we all do, that have grandparents that are already gone. Don't you wish sometimes you could get in a time machine, go backwards? Don't you wish those times when you were trying to figure out a way to get away from them, now you wish you had the opportunity to sit down with them, you know? And so those of you that are in the busy life, the teenage, you know, most of our teenagers are gone, but busy life of teenage years and those type of thing, and sometimes it seems like a bit of a waste of time to be sitting there talking to, but listen, it's not a waste of time. Take the time. Take the time. You are blessed. If you have grandparents, you're blessed. Many of us do not have grandparents anymore. Don't take yours for granted. And realize that grandparents are a blessing. They're a blessing. Now, my ancestors provided me with a heritage of some kind, but my birth provided them with the chance to carry on a heritage. I not only inherited, but I became an inheritance. And so what I think our responsibilities ought to be in this matter of our view towards our grandparents is to honor the best parts of their heritage. Honor the best parts of their heritage. And then, watch this, improve their heritage so that when you provide your children an inheritance, and by the way, I'm not talking about money. We're so money-minded in this day and age. I'm talking about this idea of leaving your children something that they can be proud of, something that is noble, something that is honorable, that you would leave them a godly heritage. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And again, that's not just, I don't think, only talking about or even primarily talking about any type of a wealth of inheritance. I think it's talking about a goodly heritage. And so think about these things. Well, preacher, my grandparents weren't saved. Are you saved? You know what? You've already improved your heritage. You're already going to be able to leave something down to your children and your grandchildren that they did not leave to you. You've improved your heritage. Some of you came to a point where you received Christ as your Savior, and you know what? You had to, in some ways, as far as the spiritual heritage, start a brand new heritage to pass down to your generations. You weren't benefited by Christian grandparents or maybe even Christian parents. But when you got saved, you now have an opportunity to pass down a Christian heritage. At the same time, some of you have grandparents that are saved. You have parents that are saved. They provided you with a goodly, godly heritage. Now, what I would want to do as a young person and throughout my life, I want to take the things that were handed to me by my grandparents, I mean the best of their heritage, and then the best of the heritage of my parents. I want to improve upon those things, and I want to leave both my children and my grandchildren, and maybe one of these days, if I'm given normal life and God is merciful and I live, and if Christ chooses not to return, by the way, if he interrupts this thing tonight, I'm just fine with that. I'm just fine with that. But if he delays his return, that there would be an opportunity for me to pass on to them some of the best things that my grandparents passed on, the best things that my parents passed on, improve upon those things, give them to my children, and them hopefully improving upon the things I've handed them. Folks, listen to me. I think one of the most diabolical and dastardly things a young person can do is to receive a godly heritage from grandparents or parents and to take that and throw it in the dumpster and begin a cycle of spiritual decline that they'll stand before God and answer for one of these days at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You young people, I hope you're listening loud and clear to me. I can't preach to our teens tonight, but I'll preach to our children because it's just as much as on your responsibility. Shame on you. If you grow up having been raised in church and you turn your back and you don't and you stop attending church, shame on you. I mean it. Shame on you. Shame on you if you were raised with the blessings of Bible principles and Bible preaching and you just decide one of these days because of your wicked selfishness that you're going to turn your back on those things. I mean this, folks. I know it touches people's lives. I know it's a part of, but I'm going to tell you something. It's wicked. It's diabolical. I don't know if there's anything more wrong than that. And I pray for our prodigals. I do pray for them. But you know what they need? They need to end up in a pig pen somewhere. They need God to take them down to the very bottom where they don't have anywhere to look up so that they realize how stinking good they had it when they had God's blessing on their life. Don't make excuses about them to me. I don't want to hear their excuses. Shame on them. If they've got grandparents and parents that have given them a godly heritage and they want to go trash their family name and their church's name and go out and live like the devil, shame on them. I mean that. And you know what, parents and grandparents, there ought to be a part of, I know you got to love them, and I know you got to live with them, and I know all these things, but there ought to be some serious talks that you have with your children about their responsibilities when it comes to the things of God. And I hope some of you just get that sour look off your face and get a heart with your preacher and understand there's things more important going on in this world than us saying, oh, well, bless their heart. No, there ain't no blessing their heart with me. Shame on them. I mean that. Some of the people in this room were not afforded any of that. They fought themselves out of a pit, climbed out of a horrible pit, got saved, started a brand new family heritage, 2 generations later to watch somebody throw it in the dumpster. Now, I shouldn't be happy about that. I'm not going to pat them on the head. That's the name of Christ they're dragging through the mud. Everything I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, if it's not touching your heart, you need to open your heart. Everything Christ paid, and you turn 18, 19, 20 years old, turn around, spit in Jesus' face and walk away. I'm going to tell you something. Woe hangs heavy upon that person. But you know what I appreciate too, because sometimes we talk about them, but all over this room, there are young people that's taken a godly heritage from mom and dad, and sometimes even grandma and grandpa. And you know what they said? We're going to carry on this godly heritage. Folks, this thing ought to be generational. It ought to be so strong in our lives and in our hearts, it ought to be generational. If we are blessed to span 7 generations, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say we have 7 generations from great-grandma to great-grandbaby who are going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil get in and mess this thing up. And so the blessings of family, the blessings of having grandparents, the added blessings of having godly grandparents. Let's move quickly on. The blessings of having grandchildren. We're just going to park here a while. Amen. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And there is a wonderful thing. I heard Brother Johnny Pope preach in a camp here over in Oklahoma, and he made this statement. He said, since I've become a grandparent, he said, I've fallen in love with all children all over again. And I thought, you know what? There's something to that. There's just something to that. The blessings of having grandchildren. To be blessed to see your children's children. What a wonderful thing. I'm going to read some excerpts out of a little booklet we put together, and I was, to be honest with you, as I did the figuring, I was shocked at just how short a time ago this thing was put together. But I want to also do this because I want to challenge some of you grandparents, great-grandparents. Preacher, you know what? There's only so many things I can do, and some of you are senior saints, and preacher, I'm more and more limited by the frailties of the aging process, and you say, I want to impact. I want to impact not just my children, but my great-grandchildren. And maybe if you never see them, impact them. I remember when I went to Dad when he turned 70 years old, and I said, Dad, I want you to, I was always after him to write something. You know, I was pushing him to write something, and he was intimidated by the process, and most people are. I understand that. I have no problem. So I made it as simple as I could. I said, Dad, I just want, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you 14 and end up giving him 17 different areas, 17 different people groups. And I said, if you would just sit down, and based on 40 years of experience in the ministry and 70 years of life, if you were to offer 5 pieces of advice to these groups of people, what would you say to them? And I just wanted to simplify it. Now, let me do that same simplification process for you. say, "Preacher, I'm not a writer. Haven't you learned some things in life?" You see, this little thing, this little booklet we put out, and by the way, this was last August, because Dad, I gave it to him when he turned 70. About the time he turned 71, he finally finished it after I would aggravate him and aggravate him and aggravate him. And I'm glad I aggravated him. Do you realize how precious this is to me right now? And precious to many of us here? You know, I can't go to my father now and say, "Dad, could you give me some advice about..." I can't do that. But you know what? I've got in my hand here advice for husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children and teenagers and young couples and Bible college students and preachers, preachers' wives, advice for children's workers, advice for those who pray, advice for deacons, advice for church members, advice for soul winners, advice for fellow Americans, advice for grandparents, right here. I'm a grandparent. Now I can open this up and say, "Man, if I had a chance to sit down and say, Dad, give me the five most important things you learned about being a grandpa." Now, what I'm saying is this. You know what? This is precious to me, but you could do this. Great grandma, you could do this. You know, one of these days, maybe it'll be your children or your grandchildren that have to say, "Hey, I know you never met grandma, great grandma so-and-so, but she would want you to have this." And how precious that would be. And so I was talking a minute ago about the blessings of having grandchildren, and I got to thinking about this. Let me read five pieces of advice to grandparents that my dad wrote down here. So, preacher, it is a blessing to have grandchildren. Is there any advice? Well, I'm not going to try to give you advice. I'm kind of new at it, all right? But let me give you advice from an old pro here. Number one, remember that your grandchildren will listen to your words of wisdom, but they will also watch for them to be displayed in your life. Number two, wrong words and attitudes done in our youth can over time be corrected, but as a grandparent, we don't often have the time left to do this, so we'd better be careful what we say or do. Yeah, time's not on your side anymore. Number three, godly grandparents must cut a straight path and build some bridges for those coming behind that they may clearly see the way of God. Number four, a grandparent's joy, I love this, a grandparent's joy is doubled when not only their children walk in truth, but their children's children walk in truth also. Now, 2 John 4:4 says, "No greater joy than your children walk in truth." He said, that's doubled when your grandchildren walk in truth. Number five, I like this. Pray for your grandchildren from the depth of your soul. Love them with all your heart and spoil them as much as their parents will let you. And I thought, what a blessing. Now, folks, family's a blessing. Family's a blessing. Young people say, "Preacher, give me a good reason to live for the Lord." You know what? Your grandpa's a good enough reason. Your grandma's a good enough reason. I know there's a lot of reasons, but that's a good enough reason. They handed you a heritage. They handed you their name. Shame on you if you take that name and go out here in the world and drag it through the mud and the slop of this filthy world. Shame on you. And so, the blessings of grandchildren. How about this? The blessing of having parents and the blessings of having children. Now, let me just say a few things to the children. Be thankful for your parents. Be thankful for them. I never forget this. I tried to get in years ago, my second year of Bible college. I used to drive to the north side of Chicago on Foster Avenue and do a nursing home service. On the way home one day from our nursing home service, I looked and noticed that on Foster Avenue, on towards the interstate, on towards Lakeshore Drive, as I was heading back, there was an orphanage. An orphanage. And so it was run by Catholic Charities, which is a big outfit, big organization, very powerful organization up in Chicagoland area. So I went in there and attempted to see if I could get permission to come in and hold a Sunday service after our nursing home service and preach to the orphans there in this huge orphanage. First time I went in there, they took me through
And they gave me a tour of the place. The lady that met me was very kind. She took me. She said, would you like to look around the facilities? I'd love to look around the facilities. Folks, I walked up and down through dormitories and play areas, and I shook hands with children, and I left there with tears streaming down my face. I don't know if there's anything in the world sadder than a child that's living in an institution because they have no mommy and they have no daddy. And I prayed and asked God to let me get in there and filled out my application. And shock of all shocks, Catholic Charities didn't want an independent fundamental Baptist preacher in there on Sunday afternoon. But I used to stop in front of that place on purpose on my way back from the nursing home on the side of the street and weep and pray for them children. I don't know where they're at now. But let me tell you something, kids. About the time you get aggravated at mama, you get on your knees and you say, God, thank you that I got a mama. Thank you that I got a mama. About the time you get aggravated because you think dad's a little strict or a little old-fashioned, you get on your knees and say, God, thank you I got a daddy. Those children in that orphanage would give everything in the world to live where you live and to have what you have and to have a mom and dad. And so, you know what? Don't let Satan get in your ear on this. You know what he wants to convince you and you and these little precious groups of girls? They want to convince you that your mama's a burden. That your mama's just, I mean, she's just the most horrible thing in your life. And he's going to do everything he can to turn your heart away from your mama and your heart away from your daddy. Now, when you start having thoughts like that, feelings like that, because maybe they won't let you do something you want to do or won't get you something you want to get or give you something that you didn't really want that you really needed or something, you don't, they have to correct you. You know what? And the devil's sitting on your shoulder. You know what? You tell him, get behind me, Satan. You get on your knees and you start thanking God that you've got a mama and that you've got a daddy. They're a blessing. Your parents are a blessing. Let's say this, parents, together. Listen, our children also, they're a blessing. They're a blessing. Now, children, you honor. You be thankful for your parents. You be obedient to your parents. It's the number one main command given to children. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing. Do the right thing. Preacher, what's the right thing? I don't know. I don't even know what's right and wrong sometimes. Well, here's one right thing. Obey mama, obey daddy. That's the right thing to do. And the Bible says that it's the first command with promise. In other words, it's the first time in the Bible that God gives a command and links to it a promise, a reward, if you will. He says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so you know what? You're going to have a better life and you're going to have a longer life if you'll obey and honor your mom and dad. And if you disobey and dishonor your mom and dad, things are not going to go as well with you, and you are not going to live as long. You know, folks, I often say it's appointed unto man once to die, and I'll preach on this one of these days. God, I believe, when we are born, gives us a set number of days. But I also believe I could take you to the Bible and show you that we can whittle off the days off that number or add days to that number based on a handful of things that God says in his word. You do this, I will shorten your days. You do this, I will give you long life. I will lengthen your days and give you long life. And I believe that that is not set in concrete. I believe that that is a starting place, and we determine that. And young people, listen to me. Don't you be a rebel. Don't you be a rebel. I've watched young people make decisions. I promise you right this. I promise you. Their life's already been shortened. The days have already been reduced of the length of life. And not only that, that it may be well with thee. God is going to withhold happiness and blessings that they could have received in their lives. You know, look up here and let me just help you with something, folks. Because you see, some of you like to deal in theory, but I got to deal in reality here. Some of you come up with these little things in your mind, but when the rubber meets the road, it don't work. Me and my wife talk about this. You talk to her as secretary one of these days and find out how many calls a week where somebody calls us because their life is in the dumpster, and usually what it means is they want us to pay their bills. They want us to pay their bills. And you know the question I've gotten to started asking because they're always 19 or 20s. They're either in their late teens or their 20s, sometimes into their early 30s. First thing I said is, where's your mama and where's your daddy? Where's your mama and where's your daddy? Well, they won't have anything to do with me, and they did this, they did. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait. Call your mom. Call your dad. Well, I can't. You know what I'm finding out? They're disobedient, rebellious, and living a life that dishonors their parents, and they're getting spanked. See, some of you don't understand why Pastor Jerry don't jump on a white horse and run to everybody's rescue. I'm going to ask some questions. You want my help? I'm going to ask you some questions. Then the second thing I ask is, okay, where's your home church? By this time, they're just getting mad at me now. They're frustrated. Well, you know what? Let me just give you a fact of life. Dishonor your parents, you dishonor God. You think your life's going to go great? And we just got this idea that we ought to be able to do whatever we want, and then it ought to live happy. We ought to, the end of our life ought to be, and they lived happily ever after. It don't work that way. There are promises. Promises. God says, if you want it to be well with you and you want to live long on the earth, you obey and honor your parents. And if you don't, guess what? I made a promise. There's consequences. And so the blessings of parents. The blessing, listen, it is incumbent upon you young people. You should have a thankful heart. You should be obedient, and you should honor your parents. You should honor them with your lips. You ought to say good and sweet things about them. You ought to honor them with your life by not bringing a reproach upon their name. And you ought to honor them with your choices. When you get to be an adult, you should not make choices that are going to dishonor your parents. Five pieces of advice to young people. See if I can find it. Here's what my father wrote down. Children, listen up. You're laying the foundation right now for the rest of your life. Number two, godly adults really do know more than you. Now watch this. Not that you're dumb, but they've just been around longer than you. It's called experience. Number three, spend some of your time with older adults. Don't be overly mouthy. Listen carefully to them and learn something. Number four, during these years, develop the talents that God has given you. Boy, that's good advice. That's a sermon right there. Number five, be a godly example to your peers and those following. They need examples to follow also, godly examples. Say, what do you mean those following me? I mean, if you're a fifth grader, there's a third grader looking up to you. If you're a third grader, there's a first grader looking up to you. You know what? At any age you are, there's somebody younger than you, and you're an example to them about something. And so that's the advice given. How about us parents? We're blessed to have children. Yeah, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. We are blessed if we have children. Can I just give you some of this tonight? Here's some advice to fathers. Children are a blessing. Number one, to some degree, it's impossible to stop your children from walking in your footsteps. So be careful each day where you step. To some degree, it is impossible to stop your children from walking in your footsteps. So be careful each day where you step. Number two, being a father is a great privilege, but an even greater responsibility. Number three, talk often of your love for and dependence upon the Lord. Then demonstrate it daily in your life. Number four, balance very carefully the time you give to your family with the time you give to other activities. See to it the family wins out. Number five, fathers, your relationship with the Lord will determine your ability to be a kind, loving, praying leader for your family. That's pretty good advice. Yeah, that's pretty good. Wow. I'm kind of glad I kept bugging him. Number one, how about this, mothers? Here's some advice. Number one, your children will remember your words for the rest of their lives. Please be careful what you say and how you say it. Number two, the gentle, loving hug of a mother will heal most of the hurts of your child. That's good. Number three, how you do your job as a mother to a great degree will determine how your children turn out. Number four, your life lived for Jesus Christ will teach them more than any book
aside from the Bible, that you could buy them. Number five, a time will come when the apron strings must be cut, but prayer for them must never cease until death takes you home. That's pretty good advice for mothers. Family is a blessing. Children are a blessing. Say, Pastor, I'm at that age where the children are young and it feels like I'm never caught up, and I get one room clean and the other one's destroyed, and I get a load of laundry done and two more appear, and I'm tired, and every time I take a nap I hear mommy, mommy, mommy. I go to the bathroom, under the door it's little fingers, mommy, mommy, mommy. Yeah, amen. Could I just say this? As much as you're not going to believe me, you are going to miss it. One of these. Well, maybe not the bathroom thing, but everything else. Everything else, you're going to miss it. Just love it. On the most frustrating of days, just grab one of them, pick them up, and squeeze them real hard, and touch their face, and realize you're going to blink, and you're going to blink, and you're going to blink, and they're going to be bringing babies in. And so just love every minute of it, okay? The blessings of having a spouse. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It's a wonderful thing to be married. How about this? Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up, talking about the virtuous wife, the virtuous woman, and call her blessed, her husband also, he praiseth her. It's a blessing to be married. It's a blessing to have a spouse. Can I just share with you some pieces of advice? Since Dad's not here to preach anymore, can I just share a few of his words from the pulpit here that he occupied for so many years? Let's see. Husbands and wives, where's that at? Here they are. Husbands, here's some advice. Be prepared before you become one. Well, that's good advice. Spiritually, be saved. Emotionally, be mature, ready to handle the difficulties that will come with life. Physically, be able to care for and support your family. Well, if we could just get young men to follow that, we could have revival in America right there. Number two, you are to be the loving leader of your home, always leading your family on a godly path. Number three, you are to love your wife as Jesus loves the church, until death do you part. Number four, remember that your wife often thinks from a different perspective than you do. No, Dad, not often. I should have fixed that. That must be a typo there. So. No. Remember, your wife often thinks from a different perspective than you do. You may not always do as she says, but you should always listen and consider her ideas. Number five, always love God and honor him in your life and home. Always be the same wherever you are. That's pretty good advice. How about advice to wives? Be prepared before you become one. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Spiritually, you be saved. Emotionally, be sure you're ready to submit to and be a godly helpmeet for your husband, and do it. And to do so with a kind, sweet spirit. Physically, be ready to perform the duties of keeper of the home and to keep it clean and orderly. Number two, be committed to pray for your husband as he leads your family. Number three, you should strive to be a Proverbs 31 lady. Number four, determine that the apparel you wear will always honor your husband and the Lord. Number five, have a meek and quiet spirit which is pleasing to the Lord. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, you know what, folks? We ought to just say no more of this griping about my husband or griping about my wife. It's time to start saying she's a blessing, he's a blessing. By the way, it's time to start being a blessing to each other. It's a wonderful thing. A preacher, sometimes marriage is tough. I understand that. I get it. Everybody's going to face their difficult times, but I'm going to tell you something. Marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a blessing. I talked to a man. I won't tell you a lot about the details today on the phone. You wouldn't know him anyway. But he had a marriage, and to his credit, I'll give him. He wasn't on the phone blaming his wife. He was taking credit for his
contributions to the destruction of that marriage. He was honest about it. But he's living by himself now, and he has been for several years. And his I wanted to call him back tonight from the pulpit, but I can't, and I shouldn't. But I wanted his words to echo to every married person. He said, "Preacher, I didn't know what I had. I took it for granted. Now that I don't have it, there's not a day in my life I don't wish I had it back." And this whole idea of the devil whispering in your ear, telling you young guys that somehow, some way, your life would be better without her than with her, I'm going to tell you something. That's not God. That's the devil telling you that. You tell him, that you say, "Get behind me." You rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. And so just love each other. Just love each other. The blessings of extended family. I know we haven't taken time with enough with all of these. But you know what? We have what I call our main family, the grandparents, the parents, our generation, children, grandchildren. But you know what? Aren't you glad God included an extended family? Pray for your extended family. You ought to target the members of your extended family that are not saved. By the way, all of your family. Some of you may have right in the lineage there people that aren't saved. You ought to target them and pray for them to be saved and ask the Lord to help you get the gospel to them. Let me say this. Participate as much as possible in your family get-togethers. You know what? Don't be that family that just never shows up to those things. Are you listening to me? It's important. Are you listening to me? Get this. I realize sometimes if it's an unsaved family, they may... We've run into this in our lives where unsaved sections of the family has created situations and wanted us to come to it that we could not go to and without breaking our convictions. And we had to graciously decline. Did you hear me? Not preach a message, not land blast them, not talk them down, graciously decline. But you know what? As much as possible, you ought to show up to those things. You can't influence your family for Christ if you are acting like you don't want anything to do with them and you're too good for that. Folks, fix family problems. Don't let family problems tear up a family and destroy a family and tear apart a family. I mean, don't be so full of pride that you can't. I mean, you know what? You're going to stand by a casket one of these days. You're going to stand by a casket one of these days. And so fix things that you can fix. Preacher, you know what? I've tried and something. All right, if you can't, you can't. But you should have given every due diligence, every effort to. Thank God that you've been given an extended family. Let me just say this. I found that it's true. Do you know that when you experienced a new birth, God gave you a whole new family? Isn't that awesome? I've watched this thing, and I will tell you this. Oftentimes, our basic needs for family ties is supplemented by the relationships we enjoy in the local assembly. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, our needs for family ties is supplemented. I didn't say it was replaced, but it's supplemented by the relationships we enjoy in our local assembly. And so when you were saved, you know what? God birthed you into his family. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're part of a family. And this family's so dear. And I've had people tell me, "Preacher, you know what? It's not because of lack of trying. I wish I had close ties to my family. But you know what? I'm closer to my church family than I'm allowed to be to my blood family." And you know what? That's the testimony of some folks. I wish it weren't so, and they wish it weren't so, but it is so. But a lot of times God has just given us this family. I was talking, I think it was to Tim Burcham the other night. He was talking about how him and Lori have just found themselves without trying being grandparents to a lot more than their blood grandchildren. And you know what? All of us folks of that age category can just kind of say, you know what? The people here at the church, they're family. And in a sense, spiritually speaking, you know what? You watch out for my kids like I'd watch out for your kids. And I pray for your kids. And I pray that you pray for my kids. And pray for my grandchildren. I'll pray for your grandchildren. And aren't you glad that one of these days we're going to have a big reunion in heaven? Aren't you glad about that? That's why we want to do what we can to see to it that our blood family's saved. And boy, what a day that's going to be. What a blessing just to have a family. Preacher, there's a heartache in my family. Preacher, there's a relationship in my family that I wish was better. I can't go into it. Maybe there's a relationship in my family that's been destroyed. You know, folks, listen to me and let me just encourage you with something here. If we're not careful, we'll get so fixated on the one thing that's wrong that we fail to thank God for the most of the things that are right. And don't get so fixated on the one heartache of life that you don't realize that God's been very good to you. Some of the things that you've talked about tonight, preacher, that I haven't been allowed or haven't realized in my life. And yeah, but there's a lot of good things God's given you and a lot of sweet relationships He's given you. And so just enjoy those relationships of life. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've been able to come and rejoice over this idea of the family, Lord. We'll have an opportunity, Lord, from the beginning of our race to the end of our race, if we are extended regular life, a normal existence, our 3 score and 10. And You show us that we'll start out being the inheritance, and we'll end it being a heritage. And so, Lord, I pray that in that time span, as we are allowed to interact at some level, usually in at least 5 generations, sometimes we're extended grace upon grace and goodness upon goodness. But, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that in all of our lives we would seek to be a blessing to our family. And what's good about our family, what's godly about our family. The children right now are influencing the family. I pray for each of them. Help them to dedicate themselves tonight to be good and godly children. Young people, teenagers, are in that decision-making mode. And as they become young adults, protect them, Lord. Help them to embrace, dear God, their godly heritage. Don't let them listen to the devil. Don't let them go off, dear God, in a direction that would be dishonoring to You. And dear God, for those of us that are parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, Lord, give us, Lord, godly wisdom. Help us to always point our family to You and do all that we can to influence our lost loved ones for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask one question tonight. If you have a family member, preacher, while you were talking, I got a family member that's lost, and the Lord's touched my heart about them specifically. And preacher, would you just say an extra prayer for them? Would you raise your hand? I got a family member that's lost. Heavenly Father, You see these hands, dear God. My hand's up. Lord, it is something You carry. It's just more than the normal level of the burden for the lost. Just something about a family member being lost, dear God. It's something that we carry. I pray, dear God, there may be others that have family members that are away from You, Lord, and dear God, it is our heart's desire. Our love doesn't change for them. Our love does not diminish one bit for them. But God, Lord, we would pray to see them, Lord, return back to proper fellowship and standing with You, God. Please help us to exert our influence upon them in that direction, Lord. Encourage them in that direction. Give us wisdom, Lord. We pray for these that have been, thought of tonight and indicated by lifted hand, lost family members, that they'd be saved, Lord. Please. In the months, weeks, and months ahead, may we be able to get praise reports, dear God. That Wednesday night, I prayed for a family member. That Wednesday night, God burdened my heart specifically for a family member, and Christ brought them to salvation. Give us, Lord, the opportunities we need, and help us to take advantage of the opportunities we need to be a witness, Lord, when we can. We pray in Jesus' name.